This is a podcast from the children's radio station Fun Kids. Listen on DAB digital radio across the UK or online at funkidslive.com. The 14th of July 2020. We are hurtling through this year, and this is Stuck at Home. My name is Bex, and I'm joined by my Fun Kid friend and real life friend, Dan. Hi, Dan.
Hello, Bex. Thank you so much for having me back.
That was quite a delay there for your answer. I wasn't too sure whether you were actually there, Dan.
Well, you called me your real life friend, so I was just weighing up in my mind whether I was comfortable with allowing you to let the world know that. And you know what? It turns out I am. We're mates. Say what you want, do what you want, it's fine.
I could hear the cogs in your brain turning from here as to whether you would respond to that or not. Anyway, as a reminder, Stuck at Home is becoming Activity Quest from Monday, so make sure you subscribe right now and you don't miss it. But today, I chat to someone from the Week Junior who's telling us about what's going on in the world right now. Dan and I quiz you on your Marina Ventura knowledge, and we'll give you a few things to do at home as well, wherever you may be. So Dan, not to sound too aggressive about it, but what are you doing?
I've been making some noise, Bex.
Classic, yeah.
I have been, this sounds maybe on the face of it, like what, 103 episodes of this podcast into being stuck at home. I might have completely gone doolally and lost the plot, but bear with. I have been sticking my kitchen utensils, my pots, my pans, my sieves, my baking trays to the tree out in my back garden, and I've been using it as my own orchestra.
How have your neighbours taken to this, Dan?
They're loving it. Well, they're getting it. They haven't been able to go to gigs and concerts for a few months, so they're getting a free show.
So what kind of stuff are you sticking out there?
So, colanders. I've been making putting colanders out there, baking trays, lids of saucepans. Anything that's quite metallic, and it needs to be pretty robust and durable because you're going to give it a good whack, I have been nailing it to a tree out in my back garden. Obviously, if you're using nails, make sure your mum or dad are nearby so they can help you out. Make sure you're not getting into too much damage with your thumb and with your fingers. So I've been doing it, been hanging those on there, getting a wooden stick, and just giving them a good old whack and a good old beat.
Now, I love this, Dan. I love the idea. Also, I guess you could use other stuff from your kitchen, like knives or forks or a potato masher or something like that as your stick to kind of hit things with.
Yeah, I mean, knives and forks, fine, but you're thinking inside the box, Bex. Potato masher, ladle, oh, fantastic. Brilliant idea. And metal on metal, you can get a really good... I mean, there's not that much difference in the tone and in the tune. It's not like you can crack out some classical piece. You're mainly just bashing out a noise. But we've been pent up. We've been stuck indoors for quite a long time. We've not been able to go and see music gigs that we want to check out. So this is the way that you can do your own. If you like, Bex, I can get you a ticket, a socially distanced ticket, for my next concerto that I'll be doing.
Oh, lovely. Yes, please. If you could film it for me, that would be delightful. Making your own sound wall is a good idea. I think also you could maybe just drag the potato masher down all the stairs. You know, make different noises, find different ways to get creative. And also, I feel like it's kind of like a wind chime type situation, because when the wind goes through the colander, it'll make quite a nice little sound.
Yeah, haven't thought about that. Quite scary, though, if you leave it out there up at night and you've got the howling, whistling wind whipping through your colander. That might keep you up late at night. Why are you trying to scare me, Bex?
Yeah, sorry about that. As I said it, I was like, that's actually quite creepy, isn't it? That's the beginning of a horror film, I'm sure.
What have you been doing while you've been stuck at home?
Right, so I've been finding out ideas of nicer ways to sit outside in the evenings. And I found a tutorial to make a fairy jar. Now, I quite like this idea because it's pretty simple. I won't lie to you, Dan. I like a simple thing, as you may well know. And it's pretty easy. All you need is a mason jar or just a normal jam jar, some glitter and a glow stick. That is literally it. So you get your jar and then you tip inside some glitter, any colour glitter you want. It's really up to you. And then you get a glow stick. Now, get a grown-up to help you with this. Cut open the glow stick on a towel so it doesn't get everything everywhere. And then dump the contents of the glow stick into the whole entire jar. Be careful with it because it's pretty strong stuff. And then when you've done that, get some more glitter, put it into the top of the jar, close the jar up, And then you have got yourself a lovely little glowing lantern that you can use. You can stick outside. And it's a nice little way of having a little fairy jar to light up your evenings. It only lasts about 8 hours because glow sticks don't last too long. But it's a nice way to brighten up your garden, I think.
We're spending a lot more time out with the family, with barbecues and stuff at night at the moment, aren't we? So to see them light up. And usually, when you think about those kind of lights out in your back garden, they always seem quite fancy and quite posh. And as my mum would say, oh, they're very expensive. But the fact that you can make them in your own jam jars at home, come on, we're on board with that.
Yeah, I think it's a cool way of using up some stuff. And, you know, I mean, I've got some glow sticks that I think I've got from like an old festival or an old gig. I'm not really going to use them, so I thought this might be quite a nice way of getting involved. Just make sure you know how you have to break a glow stick? I think you need to make sure you break it when it's inside the jar. Hopefully you are good to go. You'll have a lovely, colourful fairy jar.
Amazing. So many ideas that we've given you to keep you busy. Why don't you give them a go?
Yeah, absolutely. And tell us if you do. Loads of people have been in touch, sending us messages to funkidslive.com/stuck. Dan, I believe you've got a few?
I do. I have a couple to crack through. Hello to Lola, 9 years old, L-O-L-A Lola, who says my stuck-at-home skill is baking. She can make lots of stuff like biscuits, cake, and other stuff. I like it. Also, this is very cool. Let me crack on with this. Eerie and Evie have sent us a picture. They've collected rubbish in their back garden, and using their rubbish, they have... it looks like it's in like a park near them. Sorry. They've collected rubbish, and using that rubbish, they have spelt out STUCK, which is the name of our podcast. Fantastic. They've sent us a picture of it. That is so good. Thank you so much, Eerie and Evie. And then you would have put all the bottles and the cans and the plastic rubbish into its relevant recycling containers. So thank you so much for that.
Yeah, thank you so much to everybody who's been in touch. Megan, aged 11, said, hey, Bex and Dan, I love the ideas you give. I've done all of them. Wow. She says she's got an idea as well. If you're missing school, you can make one of your dolls or teddies and then get a dry erase board and pretend you are at school. It's quite good fun. You can even make worksheets for them as well, which I really love the idea of. We also had Maya, age 12, says, hey, fun kids, I'm Maya, I'm 12. I love your Stuck at Home podcast. I also love reading. I've read 14 books since lockdown, which 14. Is loads. 14, more than I've done. And finally, Ada, age 13, was amazing. She says, please, can you read this on the podcast? I can, and I will. I am right now. She says, I followed your advice, and one, I started geocaching, which is something me and you started talking about, wasn't it, Dan?
Yes, it was.
And two, she's made a terrarium, which is something me and Connor spoke about the other week. She said the terrarium is a little different because it's potatoes from our garden that have sprouted. We've been digging potatoes recently. So here's a recommendation, something to do at home is start a garden and grow potatoes. And she also sent us a picture of her potato terrarium, and it is absolutely brilliant. It's a little jar with some water and some potatoes sprouting, I guess, to make some new potatoes as well. So Ada, thank you so much for getting in touch.
But potatoes are saving everyone's life at the moment through lockdown, aren't they? Also, you can get in touch by leaving a review for Stuck at Home over on Apple Podcasts, if that's how you are listening. Mia S has got in touch over there. She says... I'll crack through this. She says she's really disappointed and sad because it's her last year of junior school. She didn't get a chance to say goodbye to all of her friends. Mia, I'm really, really sorry about that. But just think about all the new friends that you'll make next year when you're at school. If you're having trouble with that, by the way, we've got another little feature that we've made for you on Fun Kids. It's called Step Up, where people just like you who are making the move up to secondary school, who are telling us how we feel. You can find that over at funkidslive.com. And in her review, she's left about a billion emojis. She said, spot the difference. And she wants everyone listening to go and find her review on Apple Podcasts and try and spot the difference. So there you go. Go and do that. Mia, thanks for the review.
Yeah, and finally, we've had Emerald Man say, I listen to this podcast. It's entertaining and educational, and I love it. And I think Emerald Man is a relatively new listener as well, but he knew to leave the normal now octopus emojis. So thank you so much to everybody who's been getting in touch. It's so lovely to hear from you, and we love knowing what you're getting up to.
It's the time of the show where we listen to a Fun Kids mini-series. Today, we're headed back to Marina Ventura's Ocean Adventure. Today, Marina is 7,000 metres under the sea in a submarine. So join her and MapApp to find out some of the strangest animals lurking around in the bottom of the ocean.
Marina Ventura's Ocean Adventure, supported by the Natural Environment Research Council, the science of the natural world.
Konnichiwa, adventurers. That's Japanese for hello because we're in the Japanese sea, in a submarine. We're off to the very bottom of the ocean to check out some of the strangest life in the sea. Let's batten down the hatches and dive down. 1,000 metres, 2,000, 3,000, and down we go. Now we're at a sensational 7,000 metres under the water, and the pressure down here is immense. Good job this sub is tough. If you've ever carried a bucket of water, you'll know that water is heavy stuff. And down here, all that water above us is as heavy as having over 1,600 elephants standing on top of us. Now, elephants couldn't ever live down here. In fact, very few life forms can survive the seriously squashing pressure. But if we look very carefully, we can see some amazing life forms that do thrive down here. Like this funny swarm of limparidae or snailfish. Strange, pale swimmers that like it a lot down here. In fact, it's a feeding frenzy. As we move on, we can see some hydrothermal vents, or black smokers. We'd better not get too close. Those boiling hot volcanoes are erupting under the water, and not many things can take those temperatures without frying. But some shellfish like the challenge. Over there are some happy clams. They must like the steam treatment. These clams are incredibly weird. Their bodies work in a totally different way to most things on Earth. They have special bacteria in their gills that can absorb energy from the sulfuric fluids coming from the vents. As you can see, it's a weird and wonderful landscape down here. Let's boot up my map app to find out more. It's the electronic essential for every explorer and is in my rucksack here somewhere. That's not it. I thought I'd packed it near the top. That's my crampons. Great for mountains, less great down here. Ah, here it is.
Hello. Oh, we're underwater. You want a deep sea snippet?
Yes, please. It's so weird down here, you must have some great facts for us.
Of course. Here's a clue. That's a whale, of course. They can't live at these depths. But when a whale dies, its body falls to the bottom of the sea and it provides a feast for all sorts of marine life and bacteria. These whale falls, as they are called, act as an oasis of food in the hostile deep sea environment. But many of the tiny organisms that are found around them are very puzzling to scientists because we don't really know how they find these watery feasts or how they survive between meals.
Amazing! Make sure you join me and MapApp next time when we'll find out more about the mysteries of the deep. Toodle pip, adventurers!
Marina Ventura's Ocean Adventure, a Fun Kids production in association with the Natural Environment Research Council, the science of the natural world.
You can go on more adventures with Marina by searching for Marina Ventura, Kids Guide to Our Planet, wherever you're listening to this, and you'll have three questions about what you've just heard at the end of this episode of Stuck at Home.
All right then, let's head over to the Week Junior and the Week Junior's monthly science and nature magazine. We've got the assistant editor, Kieran. Hello, Kieran. How are you doing?
Hi, Bex. I'm good, thank you. I have just found out some brilliant news about one of the world's rarest species of dolphins, and I thought I might share that with you today as our news story.
I would be absolutely thrilled with that. Go ahead.
Well, the dolphins in question are the Indus dolphin, and they get their name from the Indus River, which is where it mostly lives. And for a long time, they have been struggling. The river is in Pakistan, and in 2001, there were around 1,200 of these dolphins left in the wild. And their populations had been dropping because dams kept being built within their habitat. And of course, the dam stops the water flow, and it can really affect all of the animals and plant life that lives within the river. And the dolphins, unfortunately, also quite often get tangled up in fishing nets in the river. So it was a really difficult situation for them, and there was a worry that their numbers were going to continue to plummet. However, we found out this week that there are almost 2,000 dolphins now living in the river, which is a really huge increase based on what was there before, 75% or something like that. So it's fantastic news for the dolphins. And I think perhaps more importantly, there has been a government program in Pakistan that has helped to raise awareness of the dolphins among local communities and helped to come up with new ways to protect the dolphins and make sure that people aren't harming them by accident. So not only have we seen the increase to 2,000 dolphins, but the work has been done to make sure that they will be protected and looked after for many, many years to come.
And this is great because dolphins, I find, are kind of the most accessible of the sea creatures. So it's nice to know that they're going to be protected and looked after.
Absolutely. And there are so many different types of dolphin around the world. Of course, you get the pink dolphins in the Amazon. These Indus dolphins look quite dinosaur-y, I suppose. They're well worth having a Google. They've got a really long pointed beak with lots of teeth coming out of it. So they look a little bit scary, perhaps. But it is fantastic news because they are really important to the habitat. And of course, as we know, if the animal at the top of the food chain is doing well, it means that everything beneath it is doing very, very well as well. So with the dolphins, if their populations are increasing, it means that the entire ecosystem within the Indus River is thriving.
I didn't know that, but I'm glad I do now. Well, thank you, Kieran. You've given me a lot of food for thought, so to speak. Hopefully we'll speak to you really soon.
Speak to you soon. Bye.
All right, let's find out how much you learned from Marina and her deep dive down into the ocean. If you want more adventures with her, search for Marina Ventura wherever you're listening to this. Let's get the questions on. How far down in the submarine did Marina go? A, 5,000 metres, B, 6,000 metres, or C, 7,000 metres?
Question two, very few life forms can survive the serious squashing pressure of being deep under the ocean. So true or false, when a whale dies, their body falls to the bottom of the ocean and becomes a feast for the animals that live down there. Is it true? Is it false?
Now, in the episode you heard, Marina stumbled upon some clams. Where were they hanging out? A, over a hydrothermal vent. B, over a tench. Or C, on the back of a dolphin. What do you reckon?
Tricky. Well, while you think about that, I need to ask you a question. Are you a comprehension ninja? Because Andrew Jennings is a teacher and he's the best-selling author of Vocabulary Ninja and the Comprehension Ninja series. He's got a new series of comprehension workbooks that will let you practice your reading at home. Perfect right now. They're packed with stories and loads of questions and answers on loads of different topics. You've got Oceans of the World, you've got Barack Obama, and lots more as well. All stuff for you to be tested on. The Comprehension Ninja workbooks are out right now, and they're perfect for you. So head over to the Fun Kids website to take part in the quiz and find out if you're a Comprehension Ninja yourself at funkidslive.com.
Right, let's get back to the answers. Number one, I asked you, how far down in her submarine did Marina go? Well done. If you said it was C, a whopping 7,000 metres.
True or false, when a whale dies, their body falls to the bottom of the ocean and becomes a feast for the animals that live down there. The answer is true, and apparently when it happens, it's called a whale fall.
How creative. Question three, Marina stumbled upon a clam in the episode. Do you remember where they were hanging out, though? Well done if you said it was A, over a hydrothermal vent, getting those warm gases.
Lovely stuff. Thank you so much for that, Dan. Hopefully you got 3 out of 3. If not, don't worry. There is more chance to get some answers tomorrow. And that's it. So goodbye from Dan.
Bye.
And from me. Remember to rate, review and subscribe wherever it is you get this podcast from. And of course, Stuck at Home is becoming Activity Quest on Monday. So it's really important that you do subscribe and you don't miss it when it changes. We'll be back tomorrow. See you. Bye. So that was a podcast from the children's radio station Fun Kids. Listen on DAB Digital Radio across the UK or online at funkidslive.com.